All right, what's up, man?
Not much, my friend. How are you doing today?
I'm all right. I hit my head, and now I'm gonna talk. I have to talk like this forever. I've contracted some sort of brain injury, so now I talk like a different person. It's really weird, talking like this, but this is my life now.
Meow.
Yep, right meow. My life is my voice is like Ben Shapiro's, and I can't control it.
Oh, I knew that sounded a bit familiar.
Right. I'm talking like Ben Shapiro, but I'm not talking very fast. I'm like retarded Ben Shapiro. Sorry, no, slow Ben Shapiro, because retarded Ben Shapiro is just Ben Shapiro.
Wow.
Yes, I
How
hit my head very hard, and I can no longer form cohesive thoughts.
Huh. Well, he seems like a intelligent person for some reason. I
You think
mean,
so, huh?
I haven't, I don't know that much about him, but yeah, there's a lot of people who would like to sound like him, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Every day we stray further from God.
Okay.
Every day we stray further from the truth.
Aren't
Let's get off this subject, and I want to share a story from the internet for you. Why don't you go ahead and open up that image I just linked to you.
Okay.
And we can just have a regular little conversation. So about it, like you just let me know what your thoughts are on. I mean, you know what? I'm gonna read you a little story. How about that?
That sounds good. What
Just
is this story about?
open it up, and read the words. Start at the top of the page and work your way down. Look at the pictures.
All right.
Yeah, strap in.
All right. Let's see. Open link. Okay. There we go. Save. Gotta save this. It's a picture, but I gotta save the file. It's weird.
You
Okay.
can. I think you can just open it up.
Nope, it wouldn't let me.
Yeah.
It's very fuzzy on my end. I'm not sure why
It's fuzzy, huh? I don't want any fuzziness. Yeah, just click it and then open original.
Oh, there we go. Okay, I see
Click
that
the im
now.
image,
Very
open original. There you go. And
good.
I'll read you a little narrative.
Okay, what happened to your accent?
What happened to my accent? Well, it comes and goes. It comes and goes,
Okay then.
and I have it, but then I forget that I have it, and I go back to talking normal like this.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm glad to have my friend back.
Thanks. You're welcome. You're welcome, buddy. You can thank capitalism for that. Anyway. Anyway,
Am I looking at here?
yeah, what are you looking at here? Let's see. This is the Kony Cum Jar Project, and it refers to a series of viral 4chan threads posted by an anonymous MLP user in which he shared progress of photographs of a glass jar containing a Rainbow Dash figurine, which he had been filling with demon. The project gained notoriety after, on November 27th, 2014, the user reported that he had accidentally heated the contents of the jar, with the story widely reported in the media. In the following years, the Pony Cum Jar project became a popular reference on social media, with some users recreating the project with other figurines. How you feeling right now?
What is this, man?
Yeah, take a look.
What is this? Why?
Take
Why?
it
Why?
in. Are you looking?
It's just it's it doesn't make sense.
Yeah. Feast your eyes.
Why should I stray away from these types of sites on the
Yeah, feast your
internet?
eyes. Don't look away.
This.
Don't avert your gaze. Stare directly into the abyss.
So, what was his inspiration of creating such art?
I don't know, man. All I know is I've never felt so disgusted in my life. I have a pretty strong stomach, and I like to go down into the depths of the darkest, the deepest, darkest places of the internet. But
Wow.
this story has made me nauseous.
I'm a little confused why though, because like I've seen some atrocious acts on the deep dark web and w all of
Yeah.
that, and I don't intend to go there, but there is in it's it brings its disgusting self up in some sites,
Yeah.
like even Facebook
It rears its
sometimes.
ugly head to the surface
Yes, it
sometimes.
does. The deep dark web or whatever that is. But why is this? Because it just seems like a guy that was really bored and really weird and just made decided to do this gross thing. But why is this so the on top of your list?
I don't know, something about like the cum turning brown.
Oh yeah, I thought that was piss actually. So
God, it's making me gag. Let's see. Yeah, the fact that it I gotta stop looking at this. Hold on.
I just
No,
don't
you
like
keep looking at it. You keep it open, please.
I
Yeah,
will
keep it
not
open.
do that. I don't understand what's going
Yeah.
on. Like, thank
Somehow
God.
he left it on the radiator.
Okay.
Which means that the cum boiled. Okay.
Jesus, dude.
Which means okay, I need to fucking delete this post. Hold on. I'm just gonna scroll up so I don't have to see it. Essentially what happened was he it looks like it was a solid like liter of cum in a jar, and he accidentally left it on the radiator, meaning the cum boiled, meaning there was some amount of boiled cum vapor in his room. Like old cum vapor. Imagine like walking into that room and like just deeply inhaling.
No, thank you. I'd rather not imagine that. But okay, yeah, that's gross. That's gross.
Yeah.
But it's not like the equivalent of the stuff that I've seen in the deep dark web. Like, there's some
So
really
what's
disturbing things on there. So,
I've never had such a like a visceral response. Like, I mean,
oh.
disturbing stuff I can shake off, but like I think the gross stuff, it affects me.
I guess for
Like
me,
I've never gagged from a story like that.
I mean,
I'm just recounting the story and looking at the picture, and I'm gagging on the recording right now. Like, and that's I'm not like this isn't that's not like performative. I'm like this is actually disgusting to the point that like I don't want to swallow. I don't want to.
you could
I want to do
just,
like a. Go ahead.
You could just what do you call it? Have some like water or some tea or something and forget about it. I mean, okay, I guess it's on a different I guess we have a different gross level or for me like
That hits my threshold. Like, I don't get grossed out by images,
yeah.
right? It doesn't usually cross the barrier into like physical disgust to the point that I'm gagging. You know, like I will gag if like a fly drops in my oatmeal and I almost eat it, and then the thought of that will make me gag.
Okay.
But like that's all physical stuff, and like really gross smells will make me gag. But I never like I don't gag from like seeing an image and then my imagination makes me gag. This has been the only thing that has done that.
Okay.
So
There's some things that, I
yeah.
mean, for me, I guess it's just people doing gross things, and like, if it's not harming any person physically, that doesn't really disturb me or gross me out as much as like seeing when I was on a deep dark web, seeing human suffering and animal suffering is on there, but human suffering is kind of way more like violence against humans that are like really weird, like torturous stuff that like the other day, for instance, I was watching, I was on Facebook and I was just scrolling on the stories. And then I scrolled up, and the first video that popped up was about the deep dark web or whatever. So the deep
I
dark
think it's
web,
just the dark web.
the dark web. It's the
Like
dark web. Yep.
sometimes people call it the deep web, and
Yeah.
sometimes people
Well,
call it
they're
the
no,
dark web. And I think those are two different
they are
things.
two different things. Correct. The deep web, I guess, is safer than the dark web. So the dark web. Have you ever seen the guy with his eyes censored off, and then there's two creepy dudes behind him, and he's supposed to be eating the porridge, and he's really unsettled.
No, I've never seen this. Can you
This
lend
is
it to me?
I don't want to, but
Why not?
it's pretty disturbing. But like,
I was nice enough to link the pony cum jar to you. You
oh
can't
my
do the
God.
same. You can't like show me the same,
Let's see. It's the
respect.
I can, but I didn't save it or anything. I mean, I guess I
Yeah,
did.
go find it.
Go
Go
find it.
find it for me.
Right. Yep. No problem. But it's very unsettling. It's like, what the fuck? It's like I've seen horror movies, and I don't like watching horror movies because I'm not really a fan, to say the least. But the,
Why? Like, why aren't you a fan of horror? I'm not a fan of horror movies either because I just don't think they're good movies.
okay.
I don't think horror is like a good genre of movie. It's a genre that doesn't even come out with like one good movie a year. I think they're just low quality movies, but it sounds like you have a different reason for not liking horror movies.
I guess I never really noticed why. I mean, I understood why because I guess I always thought about not purposely disturbing my mind. I don't want to purposely disturb my mind, but I also discovered like last year or the year before that I have PTSD, so it kind of works.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, some of the stuff that I see in there could trigger it, so
Yeah.
I don't really want to go through that.
Yeah, I guess that's totally understandable. As a person who doesn't have PTSD and a completely degenerate individual, I try to bring myself to the absolute edge and just shock myself to my core. And yeah, that's why I look at disgusting, terrible things to desensitize myself.
Okay, yeah, I thought about doing that too. I thought about being
There's like a
more.
morbid fascination there. I guess I'm like fascinated with morbidity.
Yeah, that's there's a lot of people that are, and it's I guess it's okay, but like when I was looking into it before I discovered PTSD was when you there was an article and there's a I gotta look up of I gotta look up that article again just as a source, but like there was talking about when you watch horror movies and you watch all of these violent acts committing people committing to human beings, you basically desensitize yourself to human suffering. And I guess I don't want to do that. I remember when I was younger in my teens, there was a video going around, it was viral, and all my family members were watching it, and they were trying to get me to watch it, and there was be a beheading of a person from a Taliban person, that guy that was doing it. I'm like, started watching it a little bit, and then I was like, no, fuck that. Because it was like, I don't know, just the visceral thing you talked about, it really does, like, violence really triggers something on me with that, so.
Yeah, like watching people die violently, that's always terrible. Yeah, and that's terrible. And like, yeah, it's hard for me to like go and seek those things out and like I don't really understand why I have this morbid fascination with things like that, but like that's kind of where I draw the line. Like, I don't know, and I have to be in sort of like, I don't know, a very particular mood. I don't understand why I'm like this. Why am I so fucked up?
No, you're not. You're not actually. There's a science behind it. People enjoy, I mean, horror movies because it does kind of, it does make you feel like you're in a fight or flight response.
I guess.
It releases some adrenaline. That I can't say the word,
But like,
adrenaline.
yeah, like it seemed to me like horror movies are just so vanilla. I guess it's the same thing. It appeals to the same aspect of our psychology, but horror movies to me are just, especially American horror movies, like mainstream American horror movies are just like, it's like trying to what can I compare it to? It's like water.
Okay.
What can I drink? What can I compare it to?
Well,
It's like if you're trying to like get high and drinking water to get high, right? That's what I can
I
compare it
guess
to.
I guess you would say get drunk and drinking water to get drunk would make,
Yeah,
yeah.
trying to get drunk off water.
Yeah, absolutely. But for the people that are in like a horror fans, like they might just enjoy the art and stuff like that of it, because like
Yeah, that I don't understand either because the art is so terrible. It's like the yeah, it's just bad. It's just bad art. Like the art is the movie itself. Like if you're appreciating movies, I don't understand why you would appreciate horror movies,
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's just a genre, but the horror books and all that, it's just for me, I'm not interested in it, so I can't really speak on why they are, but the
If you're listening to this and you're outraged by my comments, please let me know. Like, what is the appeal? Why? What? Like, what is the appeal
Do you
that
have
you're
Facebook,
experiencing
by the
my
way?
stuff?
Do you have Facebook?
Oh, not officially, but let me see
Okay.
if I can look, open this
If you
up.
can't, I'll just find the video elsewhere because it is elsewhere too.
Me look at this terrible shit. Hold on. Oftentimes, people will circulate videos that are just like clearly fake as well.
Yeah, no, I mean,
Yeah, okay.
I don't know the validity. I don't know if the validity, but at the time I was feeling really good. I was feeling.
Yeah, okay, so this is obviously fake. This is obviously a sketch.
Well, I couldn't tell that at the time, but it was viral for a long time. People couldn't figure out what was
Oh,
the cause
it
of it.
has sound apparently. I'm not listening to the sound. Who can choose? Yeah, like oh, I think most of the stuff is fake.
Okay. Say your commentary on it or your while you're watching it. Just tell me what you think at the time you're watching it and listening to it.
Should a regular person be afraid of the dark web? Because even if you don't know, use it or don't know it exists, it affects you and could ruin your life. Well, no. Dark web is part of the internet that most regular people cannot even access. Here are the illegal, there are illegal marketplaces selling fake driver's license. Okay, so basically, like it's a way to buy drugs, basically. Yeah, the whole like human organs thing, I don't think that's real. I just don't think any of the stuff that gets really, really famous and perpetuated on social media sites, I think that's fake. It's either fake or because people don't understand that the Tor network, which the dark web is built on, like the actual encryption, it was formulated and distributed by the FBI such that they can speak with each other. But it was distributed to the public because there's no sense in an encryption network that only the FBI uses because that essentially kills the anonymity. The FBI uses it, then everybody knows it's only FBI. So, and then I think FBI will do some, they will do, it's either FBI or CIA. I'm not sure. And I should, oh man, this is a problem with me, like just riffing and trying to talk about stuff that I only have like a glancing amount of information on. But essentially, I think with a lot of like the more shocking parts of the dark web, it's just sting operations to try to basically entrap people. Because like most listings, I don't know if you know this, but most listings for like hired assassins on the dark web are just like law enforcement officers who are just trying to arrest people who are in conspiracy to commit murder, right? And that's like you can't do conspiracy to commit murder if you're trying to go through the dark web, because you're just gonna get caught. And that's what all these listings are for. They're basically listings created by law enforcement agencies to entrap people who are trying to do illegal things. So as far as like the extreme stuff, like organ donation and like enslavement, I think it's just fake.
You don't believe in the validity of human trafficking through these webs. I mean, through the dark web.
I think human trafficking definitely exists, but like as far as like them taking video of themselves, like why would you do that? Why would you incriminate yourself in that way? If you're a criminal organization, you wouldn't do that, you know? Like it doesn't really make any sense. Like why would you video yourself committing more murder? But like at the same time, I'm saying that, but then there are like actual videos of the cartel like mutilating people
I was
for
just thinking
real.
that. Yep.
So I
And
don't know. Like there's certain like performative elements that make me question the validity of the videos themselves.
there is a. I mean, I don't know that video, like if it's real or fake. At the time when you're on social, when you're watching a horror movie, you clearly know something's not real. But then, like, if you're on the internet and you venture into like places where you shouldn't be venturing, if you don't want to be there, some of these things really shock me. I mean, there was a time where I was on Facebook and I went into some videos and saw some really disturbing things. Like there was a husband and a wife in a room, and there was two guys. I don't know if they're masked or not, but they're basically forcing them. They were basically keeping them hostage, and like this guy was brutally attacking the man, and the man is sitting on the bed, and he's like bleeding and holding his. Like, it was really, really fucking horrifying stuff. Like, violence isn't anything new to the world, but when you, it's like, there's just, I feel like there are some things on the dark web that people shouldn't go out and seek if they want to keep. Like, I mean, there's images that I couldn't get out of my head. There was a time, I don't know if it was real. I think it was proven it wasn't real, but I showed it to one of my friends. Forgot. It was the a couple of years ago, maybe 4 years ago, there was the Sweden rape. Su there was a the rape by immigrants. Sweden had a bunch of immigrants come in, and then these immigrants was is there was they were Muslim or Islamic, and they were committing gang rapes and stuff like that. And there was a scene captured by the news or somebody. That there was women couldn't go out on the street by themselves because the guys would like rally around them, or basically, yeah, gang up all the way around them, and they would
Where is this? Where is
this
this taking place?
was in Sweden. That's at the time when I saw that. It was in Sweden. It was the rape capital of the world at the time. And there's a frame, I mean, there's a phrase they use for gang rape as in the I'm trying to think of the word they used, but yeah, I couldn't get that image out of my head. So it's like, yeah, disturbing shit like that is not what I is that
This
stuff
is
is.
interesting. According to data from 2012, Sweden was quoted as having 66 and a half cases of reported rapes per 100,000 people, per 100,000 population. This is the highest number of reported rape of any nation. Jesus Christ. Yeah, so there's a lot of rape per capita, apparently.
Yeah.
And this is the, I mean, I'm sort of like reluctant to talk about this on stream and have this go out to the internet because I haven't really done any reporting,
Yeah.
or I haven't done any research on this. So, trying to formulate an opinion in real time about this very real event and very real statistical anomaly within Sweden that I have that is, I'm sure has a lot of nuance to the subject. I'm a little bit reluctant to have like some sort of commentary and form an opinion in real time and distribute that to the internet.
Yeah,
So
no,
this
I.
is really interesting, and I'm reading a Wikipedia article on it right now, Rape in Sweden.
Yeah.
So apparently Sweden has like a high rate of rape, huh?
Yeah, so like we can discuss that later and everything, but the thing I think we can both agree on is there are parts on the internet that people should like be careful of venturing into. Like you don't want you feeling grossed out by that Reddit article and like.
Yeah, the pony cum jar. That's basically
Yeah.
nothing. Like, it doesn't really hurt anybody, the pony cum jar, but I have like such a visceral response. And like, obviously, that's nothing to like people actually being tortured slash murdered slash mutilated.
Yeah, but
Yeah, it's nothing compared to like what the cartel is doing,
no,
right?
or the Taliban or a number of people out there, but the basic thing I get from that is like just be careful online and don't in the era where we spend most of our time on glued to a screen, you just got to figure out how to be careful of not going to places where you'd be disturbed. I mean, should minimize the disturbance in a way.
Why do you think that? I mean, when I don't know. Have you seen the George Floyd video? I mean, you're watching a man die, essentially, and that sticks with you.
Yeah.
And anytime you watch somebody die, anytime you watch somebody like beg for their lives and like go from like a living person to a dead body in real time, that's terrible. That's terrible, and that sticks with you. But like, why does the thought of like breathing liquid cum, breathing somebody else's liquid jizz. Why does that affect me more than like watching somebody die?
I guess there's a, I'm not actually sure, but there
I guess
people.
I think, you know what? I actually have a theory. Death is so normalized. Like death itself is like so normalized, but like breathing somebody else's cum vapor isn't really normalized. And it goes back to like the novelty thing we were talking about the last week, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I have never heard of anything of the sort of cum vapor breathing, and it's more
Yeah, it's
humorous when you think about
awful.
it, though.
Yeah.
Kind of
It is
humorous.
strangely like it's strangely entertaining. It's
Yeah.
strangely fascinating, you know, like the fact that this is a thing that exists.
There's some weird, gross people out there, bro. Like,
There's some fucked up people out there.
there's gross people,
I
and
mean,
then there's.
ultimately it is harmless. Ultimately, he's not really hurting anybody.
Yeah, he's just providing his contribution to the world in a way that nobody thought of before. But yeah, like, but you brought up another thing that's really important. The news and news media, whatever, is there to keep you informed, but it's also there for a lot of people to the shock and awe them. I've heard a lot of good approaches to consuming news and. Being informed. It's like if you do it too much, it could harm you. If you do it the right amount, it might not do it. It might not do anything. So I guess just minimize the like. There's people that for me specifically, I don't. I guess it's a choice. I don't seek the news out, and I don't watch news every day. And the other day, I was at my godparents' house, and they asked about my mom because she's in Afghanistan. And they asked, "How's your mom doing? How is she okay?" I'm like, "Why? What's up?" And they told me that there was a bombing in Kabul, where my mom is, of a bombing in Afghanistan in Kabul of a school of little girls. And I was like, "No, I didn't hear that. I don't really go out to." And I'm not informed because I choose not to be. But at the same time, when I know that there's people I care about that could be harmed, I looked it up. And I was so I was there was so many like what happens with you when you see news that like the George Floyd video, what emotions go through your what emotions do you feel? What do you think?
Anger, extreme sadness,
Right
you
on.
know, like a severe sense of injustice, like powerlessness.
Absolutely.
I feel the same things that the people who are on site felt, you know, not to the same level, obviously, not the same intensity because like I wasn't there. But I mean, the people I empathize with the most are the people who are there who are watching this thing happen and are completely powerless to do anything about it. Like they know that this person is being killed. They know that he's going to die. They know.
They can't do anything because they might
Can't
get
do
killed.
anything.
They might die too in the process of trying to save him. So it's like,
Right.
it's
Like
really.
you can't interfere. You can't interfere at all. So yeah, the sense of powerlessness,
That's one big one right there. Like
that's the big one.
when I heard that and I went and saw the news and I was really worried. And I'm in America and my mom's and my family. Some of them are in Afghanistan. And I the school girls, the little girls that these attackers, these heinous people hurt because they don't want girls to be educated. That really aggravated me, and I wanted to do something about it. Like I wanted to I wanted to go hurt them. I wanted to go, but see,
Right.
like I couldn't. And the only thing I could do is talk to people about it, my family members, and like it's like if I constantly watch the news and not be able to do anything about it, then I don't know what the point is for me. But I do have a plan in the future of like helping out the people in my country and all that.
Yeah.
But I don't want to consume too much news just to get feel the powerlessness and the anger and all that.
Yeah, it's really easy to put blinders on and just stay in like a hole and stay like it's extremely seductive to just like say fuck all this. I don't want to pay attention to all like the terrible things that are happening within the world because, you know, I'm powerless to change anything. So I'm just going to close my eyes and read comic books and watch superhero movies and play video games until I am old and decrepit and I die.
Yeah,
And
ignorance is bliss. That's what they say.
but like ultimately that's an easy like mode of living to slip into, but like that's not really sufficient either.
Yes, yes.
That doesn't yeah, that's that doesn't minimize your regret either.
Yeah, but
So
what's the alternative? What's the alternative? What's the middle ground to that, to both of those?
direct action and like, you know, engaging in like mutual aid on a local level. And you know, I guess like there's only so much you can do like through electoral politics. You know, I guess like recognize the limit of electoral politics and electing people who you believe will like actually tackle these real world issues and like try to gradually change the culture through effective rhetoric and conversation, force people to listen to different alternatives. You know, if you hear the type of talking points that you know lead to these atrocities, make people listen to a different perspective, you know. That's my approach anyway, and that's how you can like, you know, you engage in preventative measures while also like engaging in direct action through like local mutual aid and like I guess engage in like electoralism doesn't really work very well, but like you can't discount it entirely and you have to engage in a little bit of electoralism as well. So like those three things, that's important, but you know, like totally disengaging and just passively existing vicariously through video games and various entertainment media, that's you're just as useless as the person who endlessly reads horrible stories. Horrible news stories and does nothing. You're still doing nothing at the end of the day. So you need to like, I think people need to be more active, you know? I think we need to engage in activism more. You know, activism is really important. So,
I heard that when I looked this up and I heard about the little girls in Afghanistan, and I couldn't get it out of my head, and I couldn't really talk to my brothers about it because they didn't really undermine it, or but they didn't really give a way to fix it or anything. They just said that it's on the other side of Kabul, and our mom and our family's on this side of Kabul, so everything is okay in a way. But
yeah.
I kept looking up and researching how to make a difference. And in a Reddit post, this one person that was like, he basically said the same thing you just said: get involved in your local area and with people that are making changes or doing something about it. And I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
It's a good idea.
Inevitably, like if you try to engage as an individual in these extremely, extremely large scale intercontinental issues, like you're gonna feel you're gonna be consumed by a sense of powerlessness because like there's very, very little that the individual can do to affect real world change, you know? Especially like an individual who's just part a member of the working class who's who doesn't really have any political power, right? So, you know, like inevitably what we're talking about is alleviating the sense of powerlessness to maximize happiness, right? That's what we're talking about. We don't know, we haven't like implicitly or explicitly addressed that we're talking about alleviating the sense of powerlessness, but ultimately that is what we're doing. You're trying to devise some sort of systematized framework by which to minimize the amount of regret and powerlessness you feel. Thus, maximizing happiness.
Absolutely.
So, and you can't really do that by attempting to engage in large scale issues as an individual. That's not to say that these things aren't important, and you should. That's why that's kind of why electoralism is important. Like, you need to like be conscious of like who you're electing and whether or not the person you're voting for and the politicians and people who are actually like wielding political power, like those people who you're signal boosting are actually going to like advocate and work within your interests as an individual. So, yeah, all that's really important. But
Well,
yeah, they're like it, you should people should engage in like small scale stuff.
okay.
Volunteer, give to charity, join the IWW, the International Workers of the World, join a union, speak at City Hall, like do all that stuff, and you will be an effective member of society.
Well,
You definitely won't feel powerless.
on a larger scale of things, like something that tied to that news that I saw, it was people from Afghanistan were saying that this happened because the U.S. is pulling out the troops in September, and when the troops leave, the Taliban will take over again. So, since you're more into the political spectrum, what do you think about that? That we are pulling out the troops from Afghanistan. Do you think that will have any detrimental
I don't think it's going to
consequences?
create the power vacuum that people say it will. You know, it's, I think the Taliban is relatively small, and I think like having a military a foreign military occupation isn't the solution, right? And it only endangers more people. But really, like we're only addressing half of the conversation, you know? Like what do you think the Taliban will do, right? Do you think any individual organization is just like their only agenda is terror and wanton aggression? I don't buy into that at all. I think yeah, I don't buy into that at all. But
Yeah.
then again, like my foreign affairs knowledge is a little bit lacking. So when it comes to that specific conversation of like whether or not the United States should be engaged in military occupations of allied nations to like to do what? To what end? Further democracy? That's very vague, and like we've been doing that for many years, and it tends to destabilize things and not really stabilize things. So if anything, I don't know. I don't really know what the is the Taliban really a problem anymore? They're mainly fighting against Americans, right? They're fighting against a Western occupation.
No, not necessarily. They're fighting within the country to basically hold back the progression. It's basically saying that, like they bombed a school. I'm pretty sure they did. It was reported on many articles that they didn't take claim for it. But if it wasn't them, who was it? They bombed the school because they don't want girls to learn. They don't want girls to be educated, so they're going to be suppressive. And once, I mean, I'm not like you say, you're not educated in the foreign affairs or anything. You're way more educated than I am at it. I just know the Taliban from like my family and being down there a little bit, but I don't know how I feel about the fact that they're pulling the troops out. I do have to do more research on that myself, but
Well, generally, here's how I feel. When it comes to mitigating the harmful effects of religious fundamentalism, using a military occupation is only one solution, and I think we've proven that that's not a very effective solution. I think what we need to do is use our diplomacy and use our massive economy to develop the infrastructure in these allied countries. And just being like the biggest guy in the room with the biggest guns, I don't think that's a good solution. And I think it only leads to more violence, and it further galvanizes the religious fundamentalism that you're seeking to destroy, or not seeking to destroy, but seeking to mitigate. And if your solution is we're gonna station a bunch of people with military equipment, like you're basically posturing aggression, and it's just not a good solution.
I agree with that. I agree with that, and I think instead they should. I believe they have by now. They should have trained and armed the people of Afghanistan to fight back themselves as well, because I mean they've been there
Yeah,
long enough.
or
So.
you know, I mean, yeah, the like As far as like what is happening in the Middle East, this is an extremely, extremely, extremely complex issue, with a large number of there's of different variables that, frankly, I don't know very much about, and I'm not really furthering the conversation by giving my opinion on it because I am uninformed about the issue. So,
Understandable. Same here.
once again, this is something like I think, a large part of our friendship is like learning from each other and mutually like learning things about the world and relating it to each other, because like when you relate a thing you've learned to another person, that solidifies that knowledge in your brain. So I think there are like several subjects that we should like try to like delve a little bit deeper into. And I think in season two of this podcast, we should focus more on like learning specific things about the world that like perfect, like really what I want to do is I want to identify gaps in my knowledge that like glaring gaps in my knowledge that are on important issues. And I think this is one such example of that. So maybe in season two we can like we can change our distribution model such that we have more time to do dedicated research on these things and write out scripts and actually like create content that furthers the conversation. Because like I think right now, like reading a Wikipedia article for the first time and like educating myself like on the fly and then giving my opinion, I don't think that really airs itself to like it doesn't really further the conversation in any meaningful, productive way. I think it's just it makes me like another like tiny, insignificant, uninformed person who's just giving their opinion in a sea of tiny, uninformed people who are giving their opinion. And I just frankly I don't want to be that guy because that market is fairly flooded. So I don't yeah I don't think I should really talk about this stuff because I don't really know shit.
No worries, no worries.
But
I agree. I mean, getting more informed and having a more immersive conversation in, about it, that's way more productive. So let's move on. We have a few more topics to discuss. Creativity or staying creative. That's one of the things we wanted to talk about.
we sort of very briefly we kind of like did in substance talk about that where we're talking about like falling into this hole of not engaging with current events, not engaging with current events, never reading about current events, never reading about foreign affairs, never reading about what your government is actually doing, and only focusing on the things that give you comfort. Right, only focusing on the things that are entertaining and easily consumed. And on the same side, like, in the same way that people, I think, have a civic responsibility to be informed citizens, and exercise their, like, in a democratic country at least, where each citizen has, like, an obligation to participate in government and voice their opinion, that opinion has to be valuable. And if you're uninformed, your opinion is not valuable. That sounds a little bit controversial and perhaps insensitive, but that's just the truth. If you have no information, your opinion is not valuable. So, in the same sense that like people have a civic responsibility to be informed about the issues that they are voting on, that is only one aspect of like a well-rounded and healthy individual. I think another aspect of like well-rounded and a healthy individual is like being creative. And by creative, I mean like making the thoughts that are like inside of you, your own ideas, transmuting that and transforming that into something that's real, right? Something tangible that you can touch in the real world. And that's really important. To move your thoughts and feelings and like your internal world to like transition your internal world into the external world. That's the substance of creativity. That's like the very spirit of creativity. And I think everybody should do that. I think everybody like obviously everybody has their own interior world that they cultivate. But just to cultivate it without ever making it real, that's, I don't know, I don't think that's sufficient. It's not sufficient for me at least. But at the same time, it's easier to engage in the reality that other people create through like media versus like cultivating your own work. God, I sound like a pseudo intellectual, but I'm not. Yeah, but anyway, bottom line is like how do you do that, right? How do you stay creative? How do you like keep up that creative urge? How do you avoid falling into the trap of only consuming other people's content and never generating your own content? I don't know. It's enormously difficult. It's enormously difficult, and I don't know if I have like a clear, concise answer. What's your opinion?
Oh, I think your creativity is on a higher scale, like being useful member of your society in like a political spectrum, I believe. For me, the creative being creative has to do with creating I guess content, kind of like what we're doing for our podcast. Business minded. I mean, I want to be able to contribute to society and make life easier for people, some way or somehow, and creating cool things, like things that I find interesting, I guess. Like I'm into video design and all of these things and special effects and some things that are. Yeah, I guess creating things that people can enjoy, and in the future, I want to invent some type of products. I mean, you're into inventing products or software. I mean, you're into video game design, correct?
Not really video game design. Video game design itself is very tedious. Like, I am designing a game and it's a card game, but I don't think it's, I'm not really interested in making it a digital video game. I guess I am to some extent, but I wouldn't really be engaged in the nuts and bolts of that because like video game design from like a computer science perspective is extremely, extremely tedious, and I don't think I have the patience for it. That would be something I would outsource. But I find like I find the design aspect of games like really, really, really compelling. And I like doing that, I guess. I like writing rule books, and I like creating this template by which people can interact, and that's all games really are. And I think that's like it's a universe and system that one creates such that people can interact with each other with like a determined set of rules, right? And like and the type of interaction that can give rise to can allow people to express themselves in like really cool ways, right? I like that a lot. But like like developing video games, like developing computer games just as an individual is like it's so tedious. And that's not really interesting to me. But I mean, yeah, I guess I hope I answered that question well.
Yes, you did. You did. I remember. Well, your background in like coding reminded me of a video game you were working on that I thought was interesting. It was called Rock Paper something.
Oh yeah, okay. So yeah, I remember that game. And this is like sometimes like I will start a project and then I'll hit sort of like a wall of tedium that feels insurmountable, and then I will abandon the project. And one such example of an abandoned project is a game that I was developing called Rock Paper Scissors Shooter, and like everybody kind of understands what rock paper scissors is, and they understand that paradigm of like, yeah, they understand like what rock paper scissors is. But I was thinking about like developing some sort of like top-down shooter where your sprite is essentially a rock, a paper, or a scissors sprite, and you can shift between them. And you shoot out projectiles that are that match your sprite, and when those projectiles collide with other sprites that are also either rock, paper, or scissors, they either draw they beat it or they lose to it, right? And creating some sort of situation where two people are fighting with those rules, but also incorporating like combinations of rock, paper, scissors. Because I was looking like one of the ways that I was like brainstorming this idea and attempting to develop it. I don't know how I got on this like hole, but you know, there's competitive rock, paper, scissors tournaments. There's like competitive rock, paper, scissors leagues.
Wow.
And the way, like for money and stuff. I think like the last tournament was, or I think the grand prize was like $10,000 or something. And the way it works is, you know, obviously when you have like a monetary incentive and a tournament structure, everything becomes far more strict and far more specific. So the way that competitive rock, paper, scissors works is you'll approach the person and you'll play three games in rapid succession, right? So what this does is you formulate what your three throws are going to be, and then you throw those three throws in rapid succession. So you'll have like paper, 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 rock, 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 scissors, 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 or you'll have like scissors, paper, rock, scissors, scissors, paper, or something like this. And there's all these like articles of different like play styles and how to read people and develop like some sort of probability framework for what play style they will do based on like, I mean, based on what your hard read is of them. And these three throw combinations, mathematically, they manifest as like 27 separate throw combinations, and these all have different names. I think like I can't really remember well enough, but like rock, paper, scissors is called like the classic, I think. Scissors, like rock is called avalanche. And like from reading this, I was like, oh, this could like give rise to like special abilities, right? Like hotkey abilities that you can queue up and load in, and then like, and taking all that into account, like now you have like a framework for a really cool, very intuitive player versus player game. But the reason I say like, and I'm saying all this, and it's like, I don't know if this is interesting to anybody. If it is interesting to anybody with a computer science background and like a game development background, please feel free to create this. I have no I'm just an idea guy, and I'm never going to capitalize on this, right? I'm never going to develop it. So if you're listening to this and you're a video game developer, feel free to steal my idea. I don't care. I actually think it would be cool if somebody developed this. But anyway, one problem that I have with video game development is computer science in general is extremely, extremely, extremely meticulous. Especially like low-level programming languages. So when it comes to video game development, you have to be extremely explicit about everything to the point of you are telling each individual pixel what to do and what rules to abide by at every second, at every 60th of a second. And ultimately, that's just so, that's too meticulous for me, and it's just so boring. It's so boring. Creating video games makes me hate whatever it is I'm working on. So that's the end of that story, essentially. And that's how that idea fell by the wayside. It was an idea that like was really, really compelling to me, but it ultimately fell by the wayside because the tedium was so insurmountable.
Okay. So, it sounds really, really cool. Like, it's basically giving your rock, paper, scissor, a buff in a way, right? That's what you were thinking about.
Yeah, essentially. Think of like what can I compare it to? Because all games are basically first person shooter now. Think of like, have you ever played Counter-Strike?
Yes, I have.
Have you ever played Counter-Strike 1 versus 1?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, you can conceive of Counter-Strike 1 versus 1. But think of Counter-Strike 1 versus 1, where you are essentially some sort of elemental who can rapidly and instantaneously phase into a different class, right? And your class has like each class has a basic weapon, and you have three of them. And what class you choose to play as, and which class you choose to move as, and what suit you're wearing largely has to do with like maneuvering around your opponent and outplaying your opponent. The games that are like most the games that are most compelling to me are like games that have very, very little luck factor and place a high emphasis on skill and like a very low emphasis on luck. And a game and games that have like a large amount of information streaming at the opponent. Like games like chess, like you have all the information at your fingertips, and the person who's going to win is the person who can build a better simulation in their own mind about what's going to happen in the future. And yeah, I kind of got off on a tangent there, but yeah, that's my opinion on rock, paper, scissors shooter. But like with the way that I was designing it, it was very like it was a top down structure. I can't really think of like what it would be similar to. Maybe we can come back to the subject. I can't really think of what it would be similar to.
I guess it's unique, 'cause I mean I don't know any games that you have that have been made for rock paper scissors before. I don't know any video games. I mean I haven't looked it up, but any additions to rock paper scissors. It's a pretty fucking straightforward game that you play.
Yeah, it's really intuitive, right? Like everybody understands how it works. I'll give you a you know what it would be like? And I'm comparing it, this isn't like a one-to-one comparison, but imagine a game like Berserk, where and this would be pretty easy to program, right? I'm gonna send you the Wikipedia article to Berserk. Imagine a game like Berserk, where it's the same map as Berserk, but instead of the robots you're fighting, it's just another person in the arena with you, and you both have control over your own person. And you can phase shift, like you would use, like, it would be a game played with like mouse and keyboard, and you use ASD to move and shift to change from rock, paper, scissors, right? You go rock, paper, scissors, and if you're rock, you change to paper. If you're paper, you change to scissors. If you're scissors, you change to rock, right? And you continuously phase through these. And I guess you could have like number keys or different keys on the keyboard be your abilities. Yeah, so it would be sort of like a top-down structure like Berserk, where you're trying to hit your opponent. It would also, I mean, I don't know if you've ever played, yeah, it's, I can't think of, like, I don't know how many top-down 1v1 games there are. I don't think they're very common these days, so it's really hard for me to come up with a comparison. But yeah, the best thing I can think of would be it would be like Berserk, but more mechanically dense.
Okay. Yeah, dude, that sounds really awesome. It's very creative, so that's on the topic, right
It
on
will
the
never come to
money.
be. It will never
Well,
come to be though, unless this podcast gets really, really famous and I have like some sort of like massive amounts of disposable income and fans who have like a background in computer science, right? If someone comes up to me and says, "Hey, I heard about this idea from your podcast, and like I have a background in game development and computer science, I'd like to like develop this game with you," I think that would be cool. Or if anybody like hears this and like, "I want to make this game," like, awesome. Please get in contact with me. I will be one of your first. I will help you fund the project, right? That's basically the role that I'm willing to fulfill in this intellectual property, for lack of a better word. Like, I've come up with this idea, and now like, I don't really have any plans of developing the idea, but I think ideas themselves, if you're not planning on developing it, this doesn't really belong to the person who came up with the idea. If you're not planning on like capitalizing on it, like the idea doesn't really belong to you. Ideas themselves don't really belong to anybody. So
Oh
especially
yeah.
if you don't plan on capitalizing them.
Oh yeah, actually
That's why
I was
like
having a
this
com
belongs to the world.
yeah, I was having a conversation with one of my brothers who I absolutely thought about Instacart and Grubhub while he was working at a restaurant, like before Grubhub, DoorDash, everything was a thing, and even Instacart, he wanted to deliver groceries to other people because they can't really shop. And he never executed it. He came up with ideas all the time, but he never executed it. And then all of these markets came into play. And I was like, dude, all you had to do was just, well, he had to do a lot. I was like, see what happens when you don't execute? He goes, yeah, the ideas are only the 10% of the work you have to do. 90% of the work is you have to make it, bring it into fruition. So.
Yeah, you have to actually develop it. And the reason these ideas get off the ground is because, unbeknownst to people like your brother, everybody has these ideas. I remember talking to somebody about the idea of the electric blanket, right? The idea of the electric blanket, where someone was like sitting with like a regular blanket out on a cold day, like watching a baseball game or something, and they were thinking, if only there was some sort of blanket that I could plug into somewhere, and it would be like a heated blanket, it'd be like an electric blanket. And then like a couple of years later, electric blankets hit the market, and like this, like you can say that that was your idea. You came up with it independently, but it's not really a unique idea. And if it was a unique idea, it wouldn't have consumer application. So, yeah, that's my stance on, that's my hot take on unique ideas.
All right, all right. So there, that wraps up our topic of creativity. I think we should end the podcast here.
Yeah, I'm getting
And
hungry. I'm getting hungry.
yeah,
How about you?
same, same. I gotta get some things done, go on a walk with my niece for a little bit, and
Oh, nice.
yeah, it's nice out, bro. It's nice
Nice.
out here in
Yeah,
Rochester.
it's nice where I'm at too. I think we're starting to get a little bit of summertime.
A I'm a
Little bit
fan
of
of
summertime
summertime
in our
now.
lives. Me too, dude. Same.
You've always been.
I that's the only that's really the only season I can tolerate, honestly.
I started enjoying it more than winter. I used to be like, yeah, I'm not really worried about winter, but now that I'm seeing the summer in a new light.
Yeah,
Yeah, fuck
that's cool. Fuck the cold, dude. It is. I feel like
the
everything sucks.
cold. Unless we're wind hoffing it. Unless we're wind hoffing it. But
I'm not Wim Hof. I'm not doing.
yeah.
I'm not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not gonna get into that right now.
Yep. Another time, another
Not
time.
gonna get into it. Yeah, that's a different topic for a different time.
Right, my friend, you want to
All
end
right,
it?
buddy.
Last words?
Oh, fucking. Yeah, keep your creativity alive, guys. Let your passion drive you forward, and don't be a useless piece of shit. Don't be a useless piece of shit. Harness that p feeling of powerlessness that we all feel, and try to develop some sort of framework by which to escape that sense of powerlessness. And you do that by being an effective, active member of society, whether that be engaging in a purpose larger than yourself, or manifesting your own thoughts in reality in some sort of creative endeavor. So do those things. Do that shit. You'll be a happier person.
Agreed.
All right, fuckers. I'm out. I'm ending the episode now.
We're out. Peace.